at Premier High School.
We are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
So I used the savings from switching to Progressive 30 years ago to buy tickets to the championship game. You know, between those two teams that didn't exist 30 years ago. Yeah, I'm a big Alaska Palm Trees fan. Which is a team now? In the future?
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary.
Chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoko and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they, and all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench, as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled before him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith.
Okay, hi, this is Sister Mona. We're going to be talking today about having a violent mindset. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, help me to communicate this clearly and accurately, not to add from or take away from anything that you have taught me. And I pray for anybody who's listening that they may be blessed by this, that they may have a revelation of the Holy Ghost to see clearly the warfare that we are involved in, and that they may be empowered women warriors for your army. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Okay, I was talking with a sister and the other day, and it really blessed me. She said something that really stuck in my mind. She said that we need to get violent with the kingdom of darkness. And this concept of having a violent mindset, I didn't realize how important it is, and how much it has set in my heart, and how helpful it has been in me warring effectively in the kingdom of God. You see, the scripture that I just played is a very violent scripture. A lot of times people are familiar with, David cutting off, defeating Goliath, right? Defeating the this Philistine that was talking, basically blaspheming against the Lord. But when we really look at it, it's a very gruesome scripture. Let's be honest, right? He cuts his head off, okay, with his own sword, okay, And when we look at scripture in the Old Testament, we look Jael, for example, in the book of Judges. When Sisera comes and is fighting against the Jews, she goes and she takes the temple peg from the post of their tent and drives it through the head of Sisera, okay, through his temple, okay? When you look at David, okay, it says, scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. And when you read the Psalms, there's Psalms in there. He's talking about how much he hates the enemies of God, okay? And talks about how he wars for them, okay, and how he fights. So when you look at David, okay, it even says that David was a man of war, okay? And you look at, is it Exodus? I can't remember the exact verse. I'll look it up and type it in there. But it says, Moses, this is what Moses says. He says that our God is a God of war, okay? And the thing that you have to understand is that God is love, okay? First of all, let me make this extremely clear. We battle against flesh and blood, against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, okay? So I have to make this extremely clear. We are in a new dispensation, the New Testament, a new covenant of grace. So I have to make this explicitly clear, without a shadow of a doubt, I am not talking about fighting people, okay? Human beings are made in the image of God, and our commission is to spread the gospel to them and to love them. That is a direct commandment from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, okay? To love people, okay? Human beings, okay, are vessels and victims, okay? These are, we need to see someone who's involved in sin as a slave that needs to be set free, okay? So I'm not talking about getting violent with people ever. Not in word and certainly not in behavior, okay? That's sin, okay? That's not what I'm talking about here, okay? I'm not talking about getting violent with human beings, okay? We are commanded to love human beings, okay? As a matter of fact, that is one of our strongest weapons is love, okay, in this spiritual warfare. What I'm talking about, by God's grace and power, I pray that I can just be effective, you know, through the Holy Spirit to, like, explain this clearly and grant revelation to any woman that's listening. What I'm trying to do is open our eyes, okay? That I'm praying that our eyes will be open, okay, to the reality of what we are living in right now here in the United States, okay? Because what I'm talking about here is having a violent mindset with a laser-sharp target, okay? Because the thing is that the same battles that have taken place in the Old Testament, okay, it's a new dispensation of grace, so we're not fighting with, like, people, okay? But what was going on in the Old Testament, all those wars, all that blood, all that gruesomeness, okay? There was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had not released the Holy Ghost at Calvary yet. So there was no way to release a person, okay, from a spirit. So as these people are fighting, as the Jews are fighting, as David is fighting, what he's actually fighting is people, okay, that are active vessels of these unclean spirits, okay, and enemies of God, okay? And so as he's warring, he can't deliver them from these things. He can't spread the gospel because the gospel had not been spread yet. Okay, so what he's doing is he's fighting in the flesh, because that's what it was. It was works in the Old Testament. It was all in the flesh. Now it's in the spirit, okay? But it's the same mindset, the same heart, okay? Because this is what we have to understand is, now, I don't know, because it's people that are listening, you know, may come from different backgrounds, but for the vast majority, okay, the very popular movement here in the United States, it focuses on the love and grace and mercy of God, which is of utmost importance, okay? I'm not at in all way, shape, I'm not trying to like belittle that in any way, shape, or form, okay? Because, you know, without grace and mercy, I would be condemned, okay? But what I'm trying to say here is that we have to take the whole Bible, we have to take the whole picture of God, we have to take everything from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. We have to not just pick and choose and make God in the image that we decide to make him, but we have to see him for who he is, okay? And God is love, but we have to understand what love really is, okay? When we look at a person who is really in love, okay, they are passionate, okay? There is no lukewarm, half in, half out sort of like way of being when you are really in love, okay? You hear these stories about women who, you know, lift up cars, okay, and do crazy things to save their children. Why? Because they love, okay? And when we really love God with all our mind, body, and soul, you will hate the devil, okay? You will hate him, okay? Scripture says, with a perfect hatred, okay? There's no half in, half out. There's no middle ground, okay? There's no lukewarm, okay? If our God, if Jesus Christ and the Father, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Trinity is our God, and we love him with all our heart, then we will hate those, okay, who come against him. We will have a heart of pure hatred for the devil and the kingdom of darkness. Once again, I have to make this extremely clear. I'm not talking about people, because you cannot love the Father and hate people. You love people, okay? What I'm talking about are the spiritual forces that are tearing people apart, okay? That are after you and your family and everyone you love. I will not mince words, okay? I'm being direct and honest. The kingdom of darkness wants to kill you and everyone you love. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, okay? That's why we can't play with him, all right? We cannot play with him. All right, we need to see clearly and understand what's really going on here. And the thing is that when we start to open our eyes spiritually, okay, it's like he says in Revelation, in the book of Revelation to the Laodicean church, he says, I counsel you to buy gold, refining the silver. He talks about this eye salve, this ability to be able to see. When the Lord opens your eyes to the reality of the fact, and once again, I'm talking here to the United States, anybody can listen, but this is what I understand, this is what I know, is what the Lord has called me to do. The U.S., okay, is running rampant with heartache and devastation, okay, and just despair. People are getting ripped apart by the enemy, okay, and we have to see this, because what I'm praying is that anybody who's listening to me will have their eyes open, and these deceptions will be shattered, okay? These lies and deceptions in our minds will be shattered, so we can see clearly and get to war. Start making war. Start fighting with passion and anger, okay? And hatred against the kingdom of darkness, okay? Once again, I'm not talking about people. We love people. As a matter of fact, the more you hate the devil, the more you will love people. Let me say that again. The more you hate the devil and the kingdom of darkness, the more you will love people, because your vision will become more clear and you will see the torment of even the worst sinner, okay? You will see the reality of the fact that this person is a deceived slave that is bound and shackled from head to toe, okay? Like when you start to really see clearly in the spirit, your eyes will come completely off of people, okay? And you will see the real enemy. What I'm praying for is that anybody who's listening to this will have what's called a revelation of the Holy Ghost. And we need to start having these. A revelation of the Holy Ghost. Our eyes, boom, opened, okay? Because what's going on right now is there are women that are sitting in the dark, okay? Let's be honest. I'm being so honest here with you, okay? And you've been sitting in the dark since you were little. And you've been getting beat up mercilessly, okay? I'm talking about battered over and over and over again. But you're in the dark and you can't see who's hitting you. But you know that there's people in the room. You know there's your family, your parents, your husband, your whatever it is, okay? You know they're in the room, so you just assume it's them, right? And you focus in on them, and you get confused and angry and all this, okay? What I'm praying for is a revelation of the Holy Ghost. Let the light shine. Flip that light on by the power of the Holy Ghost and see who's really hitting you. It's not your family, okay? It's not the people around you. It's not your friends. It's not your coworkers. It's the enemy, okay? It's the kingdom of darkness. Yes, these people may be vessels. And yes, these people may be falling into sin. And as they fall into sin, then they attack you, okay? But I want you to look at the real target, the real enemy, and see these things that are running rampant in the streets, rampant in people's homes, devouring homes. The things that have been tormenting you since you were young, okay? Or maybe when you were older, whenever it was, okay? These things are your real enemies, and you got to see them clearly, and you got to go after them. Because, see, their power lies in deception. And as long as you can't see them, you won't fight. And you need to start fighting because you got power that was given to us at Calvary by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to start waking up and becoming warriors, women warriors in the army of God. Okay? The alarm bell needs to go off. Okay? And we need to start seeing and coming out of our sleep. Scripture says, awake thou that sleepest. Let's wake up and see these things that have been beating us up in the dark. Okay? One of my favorite scriptures is Exodus chapter 10, verse, I think it's 23. Okay? And there's this plague of darkness. And it says there that the Egyptians were sitting in darkness. I think it was for 3 days, to where they couldn't even see in front of their face, and they just sat there. They didn't move. But the Jews had light. We've got light. We have the Holy Ghost. We can see, but we got to start listening to the Holy Spirit, and we have to start engaging in warfare with our whole hearts. Give it everything you've got, because there are people dying and perishing, both physically and spiritually, all around us. Those people we love, do not be deceived. When the enemy wants you to sin, what he's trying to do is take you out. And he wants to take you out and everybody that you love. Do not listen to him, no matter how much he flatters you, no matter what he says. Know your enemy and see him clear as day. And don't fall for his lies. Because there are people perishing by the wayside, left and right, homes falling apart. And we need to start engaging in warfare. And we need to see our enemy and fight our enemy. And love those who are imprisoned and shackled and abused and tormented. We fight in prayer. We fight in crucifying our own flesh. Okay? We fight with love. Okay? Because when someone is afflicting you and someone is hurting you, okay? And the enemy's in your ear, and he's trying to tell you to get bitter. He's trying to tell you to hate them, okay? What he's really trying to do is he's trying to get you to hand that person over to him, because your love has so much power, and the devil knows that, okay? And we have to get infused with a perfect hatred. I think it's David that said that, okay? I'll look up the scripture and put it down in the things here. But we have to get infused with a perfect hatred. Okay, and start fighting with all our hearts in our families, okay, amongst our friends, and be unyielding and make war against ourselves, our very selves, okay? This flesh wants to destroy us. Look at what it's drawn to. Look at the desires of our flesh. Look at what it wants, okay? Look at the things that it pulls you towards. It's trying to get you killed, okay, both physically and spiritually. I mean, look at the things that the flesh desires. Okay? Addictions, okay? All sorts of lust, all sorts of things that if you engaged in it, your lifespan will be shortened. And then it wants to kill you spiritually as well. You cannot trust it. Okay? Because we're not looking to save our flesh. We're looking to die to flesh, because there's nothing in it worth living for. The only thing worth living for is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, when we see Jesus, right, and he kicks the money changers out of the temple, it's because it was passion. He loves his father, okay? And he sees this offense in his father's temple, and he can't stand it, okay? He sees it, and it ignites this fire within him. And he kicks them out because he's loyal, and he loves the Lord. And this is what breaks my heart, as I see Christians here in the United States who, it's like these things are in their home and they're trying to devour and destroy their family, okay? The kingdom of darkness is in their home, and they're actually partnering with these things. They're actually, you know, doing the enemy's bidding, and they got one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord, and it's like sometimes they're praying, but then they're sitting there and they're advancing the devil's kingdom. And it's like they're shaking hands with the devil. And that's really what's going on when we sin. Listen, I'm not trying to be harsh and like be condemning or anything like that about sin, okay? Because it is a battle that we have to fight, and we get the victory through God's grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm... So, I mean, we make mistakes. But the thing is in our heart, where are we in our heart? Let's check our heart. You know what I mean? Do you hate sin? Do you really see sin for what it really is? Do you see sin as something that you enjoy but shouldn't do? Or do you see it as an actual instrument that the enemy kingdom uses to destroy people? Because that's what it is. That's what sin is. Sin is an offense to God, okay? And it's against the one that you love. So where's your loyalties, right? When the enemy starts tempting you and you're going through a trial, do you see the reality of the fact that as this enemy is tempting you into sin, that what he's trying to do is destroy you and those around you? Do you see the reality of that? Because that's when victory gets a lot easier, because you actually will engage your free will and start fighting and not be half in, half out about it, because the key to God's grace is free will, okay? That's a key element. If you don't choose to engage, it's not like something supernatural is just going to overtake you and then it just happens. No, this is advanced through your free will. You got to choose to make war against sin and against the enemy. And then God's grace and power kicks in, because the Lord is not, you know, he doesn't force his will upon us. So we got to engage our own free will to fight and be loyal. You don't have to be perfect. That's where the grace, boom, it kicks in. Okay, and that's when you start getting the victory. But first, you got to use your own free will to set your heart against evil and the devil and see that enemy and fight. And then the grace kicks in. Free will comes first, though. And so I pray that I'm making this clear, because if you could see this, us here in the United States in the spirit, you would see that even though the sun may be shining outside, it is dark all over the place. Okay? It's just completely dark. There are territorial spirits that are sitting on people's homes, okay? Unfortunately, ruling over that home. And oh my God, and it breaks my heart, because what's going on, and this is why you can't play with the devil. There is no lukewarm. Because when you see these territorial spirits sitting over a person's home, what's going on inside of that home is ugly, okay? There are children being hurt, hearts being broken. Like, that's how this stuff happens, okay? Because these things are wicked and they're evil, okay? And they know what they're doing. See, people are deceived a lot of times. They're lied to, and then through a lie, they believe something that's not true, and then they hand themselves over to sin and they start sinning. And then there you go. They're now moving the kingdom of darkness. They're advancing the kingdom of darkness. That's how it happens. We're lied to. We say, okay, we leave you. And then we agree with the lie, and then we start to act upon the lie. And then now we're a vessel for the kingdom of darkness, okay? So everybody, even the worst sinner, they're still deceived, and I mean, because the devil never tells the truth. But these things that are doing the lying, these things that are pushing a person in that direction, they see, they know what they're doing, and they have one simple goal, and that is pain, hurt, heartache, death, and destruction. Okay? And so when you start to really see these things in reality, okay, and have your eyes open. If it sounds crazy what I'm saying, just please pray about it. And let the Lord open your eyes to this reality. You won't want to do anything in agreement with these things. As a matter of fact, you want them dead. You will want to stomp on them. That's why Psalm 91 says that you will tread upon. Okay? The young adder, the serpent, all of these things, they're unclean spirits that are hurting people, and you want to trample them. Because when you see what they've done to people, when you see how they've hurt people, I got news for you. People are weak. The flesh is weak. It's very soft. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like when you can see this clearly, it's weak, and it's, you know, you barely touch it and it bruises. It's nothing, but these things are hard and wicked. Okay, that's why it says, when it talks about the beast, that teeth, it talks about these teeth of iron, okay, and things like that. Okay, all these vicious and violent imagery, because it's a violent kingdom that has no desire but to destroy people. Okay, and that's why we got to get our foot out of the world, because our foot is in line with this stuff. Okay, if you've got one foot in and one foot out, yank it out. Because when you really see what you're partnering with and what you really see what you're working with, it's heartbreaking when you see these things in reality. And you got to pray and ask the Lord to help you see it, okay? Have your eyes open so you can look around and see what's really going on. Scripture says the whole world lies in darkness. So when you're looking out in the street and it seems like there's lights and the sun's out and people are doing A, B, C, and D, they're in the dark. They can't even see what they're doing. And they're in the dark and there's these things surrounding them that want their blood, that want them dead. Okay? And those are your enemies. And they're not just something that you don't like or that irritate you every once in a while. We need to hate them. We need to hate those things and go to war against them. Like David says, with a perfect hatred. Okay? We love the Lord with all our mind, body, and soul. And we hate the kingdom of darkness. That is our enemy. We don't play with it. We don't engage with it. We don't help it in any way, shape, or form. Okay? Because please understand something. It's like this. It's either us or them. The devil and the kingdom of darkness, all these demons and fallen angels, they know no mercy. Okay? Which is why we have to have a violent mindset. Okay? Think about David and Goliath. When they went into that battle, it was either Goliath was going to die or David was going to die. There was no third option. There is no peace with the devil. Okay? When you're in a battle, understand this basic truth. The devil will not stop until he destroys you. He may back off for a season, but he'll return again. He'll return again. Okay? And his pure goal is your death, both physically and spiritually. Those, you and everyone you love. So there is no middle ground.
And I will say this, like, I'm just being honest. People can think I'm crazy, but I'm just telling you this because it's worked for me. I pray like a crazy person. And I'm talking about, like, when I get into, I don't do this in front of people, unbelievers, like it says in Corinthians, like, you know, where they don't understand. But I'm talking about when I'm in the privacy of my own home and, you know, I'm in deep prayer and I'm in the middle of a serious trial. Like, I get brutal with the devil. Like, I don't even play. Like, I'm talking about, like, praying and, like, crying and, like, stomping my feet. Like, and I'm just telling you this. I'm not trying to, like, you know, spread any crazy doctrine or anything. But I'm just telling you, like, Scripture says that the effectual fervent, it means like passionate prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Talks about Elijah, and he prayed like 7 times, and he went down and bowed his head, and he went up and looked again, and went down and bowed his head, went up and looked again. And when you see Elisha with the sick boy, how he puts his face on the boy, and then he gets back up and puts his face back on, like, you know, and then Jesus, you know, when he spit in the guy, and then the blind man's eyes, you know, and made mud. Like, sometimes prayer involves like crazy stuff, and like, so I'm not trying to like tell anybody what to do, but I'm just saying for myself, like, I'll be honest with you. Like, there was a certain point where something changed and like, and I started learning that, you know, after the Lord opened my eyes that like there were things after me, like spiritual, dark, you know, what Scripture calls devils. Okay. And like, he caused me to see them. Like, I was like, that's it. It's game time. You know what I mean? Like, I went after him and my prayer changed. It didn't go from, I'm going to shoot up a prayer and like, you know, and just say it and believe it's going to happen. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just saying that for me and my prayer life, it's intense. Like, I get like what people would call insane in my prayers. And when I know there's something that's after, you know, someone that I love, you know, my family, or, you know what I mean? Or, you know, a sister, you know, or, you know, one of the members of the body of Christ, like, I get nasty. I get really, really, really nasty with the devil. I don't play. And I'm talking about, like, I'm like, I'll be in the middle of prayer and like, I'll be honest with you. When I stomp the devil under my feet, like, I don't see things. I have seen unclean spirits with my actual eyes, like, at certain points. But what I'm talking about is, you know, like, I just, when I'm seeing in the spirit, which I'm not at this point actually seeing a physical thing, but by faith, believe it, there is something, you know, a serpent, you know, flipping around, you know, in my territory, I get to stomp in that thing's head and I crush it mercilessly. You know what I mean? When I'm in prayer and I actually physically stomp my foot. And I'm not telling anybody that you have to do this, but I'm just, this is my personal testimony. I don't play. I get nasty. I get ugly with the devil. I'm loving with people, merciful with people. When it comes to the devil, I don't play. I'm talking about when I start getting to those like strong towers, I like actually physically move my hands and yank them down in the spirit. Like, it's just, I don't play. I mean, there's praying in tongues. I mean, it's intense warfare sometimes, my prayers, because what I'm trying to explain is that the majority of the battles that I fought, they didn't go down with one prayer. They didn't go down with one prayer, and they didn't go down without a fight. And I'm just trying to communicate this to you, because sometimes we'll pray for things and we're like, nothing happened. You know, and all your boxes are checked. You're not, you know, involved in anything that God doesn't want. You know it's God's will, but it still is nothing happening. Sometimes what that's about is you need to start going after the enemy. And you need to fight, you know what I mean? And you need to draw blood of the, you know, from the enemy camp. Like, sometimes that's what it's about, is he doesn't want you to just, like, say a prayer. And sometimes he's trying to yank the fighter out of you. You understand what I'm saying? He's trying to push you to really war and make, and really, like, declare war on this thing. Go after it with your whole mind, well, with your whole heart, with your mind, body, and soul. Just boom. This, and you know, when you read Joshua, Joshua did not stop until every last enemy that he fought was dead. Not all Israel, some of them left them. I'm talking about Joshua, okay, the book of Joshua. I'm talking about him, okay? Like, he fought, okay, and slew. Read that. It's a bloody book. He fought and slew until every last enemy that he came up against was dead, okay? And once again, we're not battling people anymore, okay? We're battling spirits, okay? Devils and unclean spirits. But that's the mindset sometimes that we need to have. And I think a lot of Christians, a lot of times, they don't understand, like, that spiritual warfare is a bloody battle, and it's intense, and you go after. You don't back down. You don't stop until your enemy's dead. You understand what I'm saying? And so it's like, you know, because I see this sometimes with Christians. They'll be in the heat of a battle, and they're praying, but it's at like a 50%, you know what I mean? Like, they know they're not praying with their whole heart. They know they're not going after the enemy with everything they got. You understand what I'm saying? And it's just like, I can just feel, you know, like in the spirit, like if they went out and just went after the devil with everything they had, this battle would be over and be over quick. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if they really fought and were like, I'm not backing down, I'm not yielding one inch. As a matter of fact, you're going down, speaking of the enemy. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the book of Joshua is a really good example of that. He fought until every last enemy he met was dead. And sometimes that's what it's about. It's not about patience. And sometimes, okay, I'm saying sometimes. Sometimes it's not about waiting. Sometimes it's not about patience. Sometimes it's not about if your prayers are according to the will of God. Sometimes it's not about, you know, open doors and sin. Sometimes it's simply about, the Lord wants you to start. He's trying to bring out the fighter in you that's going to go after, you know, this thing that's attacking you 100% and not back down until it's gone. I'm telling you, there's been specific battles where I've been in prayer, and it was just something, a fire ignited in me, and just, you know, the Holy Spirit was explaining to me, this thing is not going to stop until you defeat it. And it's true. I saw it myself. I've seen it on numerous occasions with, you know, attacks, that it didn't go away, and I would lighten up on the prayer and not take it so seriously, and the thing would start to return. And it was like, it really was a literal war, you know, and it was like, as I would back down, then the enemy would come back stronger. But when I just continually went after the enemy and did not yield or stop until the battle was over, like, not only did it end, but it ended fairly quickly. So I pray that's helpful. So I pray that was helpful. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just really pray for anybody who's listening that their heart gets, just that a fire starts to be ignited in their hearts with a complete love and passion for you, where they just love you just beyond comprehension with everything that they have, to where they throw themselves, their whole mind, body, and soul upon your altar and say, Lord, let me be your vessel. Let me just be yours completely from head to toe. Because we are nothing. What is man? We're nothing. We are nothing before the throne of God. But if we give ourselves to him, he can do miraculous things through us, if we will just give ourselves over to him completely. And so I just pray that that's what we start to do. We start to just give our whole selves over to you, Lord. And we just desire to advance your kingdom with our whole heart and to make war. And that we see clearly, Lord, please bless anybody who's listening to this. I just pray that according to your will and your timing, that you open their eyes to the reality of what's going on around them, that they really start to see clearly who their real enemy is, and that they start to fight against that enemy. all these things. And oh, and then also, if you're not saved, please just join us and just become born again. Ask the Lord, you know, just ask him to forgive you of your sins and to give you new life by being born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 57. To the chief musician, Altasketh, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth.
Premier High School. We are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service.
learn more about how you can reach your goal